All right, everyone, and welcome back to That Plumbing Podcast. My name is Brandon the Plumber, and I'm here today with Josh Berlinson. Say hi, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Josh came across the podcast and reached out through email, and he's got some he's a plumber himself from Missouri, and he's got a YouTube channel. He's got a YouTube Shorts, YouTube videos. Do you have Instagram or is
Yep, I
you
have
got everything?
Instagram. Same thing as YouTube and as well as TikTok.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good videos. I was checking them out earlier. A lot of educational stuff that's doesn't have a bunch of fat on it. So if you're trying to figure something out on the fly, you can look at it and it's not like this lifelong story building up to the repair. So awesome stuff. Well, yeah, I guess we'll just get into it, Josh. Why don't you just kind of tell us a little bit about who you are? How did you get into plumbing? Stuff like that.
Yeah, so kind of like you said, introduce me. I'm Josh. I'm a master plumber here in Columbia, Missouri. We're about halfway between Kansas City and St. Louis. Whenever I first started out, it was probably when I was about 25. I had zero experience in the trades industry at all, and we kind of just we dove in head first. Kind of a little bit farther back, we'll move back to I was in college. Wasn't really excited to do what I was doing in college. Didn't really think I fit in very well. Wasn't very good at school. So I ended up dropping out of college. I came back home. And my dad, I remember saying, he was like, "Hey, you're gonna have to figure out, something that you're good at. You're gonna get a job. And you're gonna start making money right now. Like, you're not gonna come back home and just sit around and do nothing." So, right then and there, I got into, like land care, landscaping. Did that for about a year. And then I moved over and actually worked at a printing press for not quite a year. Did a little bit of mechanical work and did some press maintenance and kind of got my hands up and running there. And then I moved into, what do I want to do next? Clearly, the newspaper industry is not really a growing industry. It's kind of a dying industry at this point. So I said, "Man, I don't know. I should probably get into the trades, whether it's electrical, plumbing, heating and cooling, something like that. Seems like a good idea." My dad is an electrical engineer by trade, and so he went to a community college, got his associate's degree for, basically electrical engineering. And I was like, "Well, that would be a pretty good idea. I could bounce questions off him, learn a little bit from him, and go into that field." But I decided to go into plumbing, and I remember him asking me this question: "Is why did you pick plumbing over electrical?" I said, "Well, the worst thing that happens as an electrician is you could die, but the worst thing that happens in plumbing is you get nasty or you get wet and you always can go take a shower." So he always thought that was funny, but getting into plumbing was definitely interesting because, like I said, I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I knew that we had hot water. I didn't know how we got hot water. I knew that the faucets would turn on and give you water, but I don't know how it got there. So I mean, I was as green as they came when I started plumbing.
You're going to college, not really working out, and then 25, you decide to get into the plumbing field. And your dad was an electrical engineer. Did he try and talk you out of it, doing the plumbing?
Not really. He kind of pushed me in that direction. His father, my grandpa, was a carpenter, so we've all kind of worked with our hands over the years, but we've all kind of just, picked our own paths, which is kind of neat. He just was excited that I was going into something that, required a little bit of technical knowledge and, skills with your hands, mechanical skills, stuff like that.
Have you given like HVAC is equal amount of thought, or did you really just came down to not dying?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I always thought, it's heating and cooling has a little bit more electrical as well. I've always been a little timid around it. I'm not as timid as I used to be since I've been in the industry for a little bit and I had to do a little bit of electrical on my own. But I always thought, man, let's give plumbing a try and just see where it goes. Because at the time, I was like, "No, man, there's no freaking way I'm going to become a plumber. Like, I'm not going to do this full time. I'm not going to stay as this. It'll be a stepping stone to wherever I go next." But I mean, here I am about 9 years later and I love it.
Nice. So 25, you've been in 9 years. So you're 34.
I'll be turning 33 soon, so I guess that's not quite 9 years. It's almost like 8.5, 8 3/4 ish.
And you live in like a relatively big city?
It's like 120,000 people, so not huge, but it's not small, I would say.
Yeah, you got like how many plumbers do you have with your company?
My current company that I work for, let's see here, one, two, three, four, on a good day when everyone's there, we have five guys and a service manager.
It's not too much smaller than a company I work for, but I really like those, you know, those ones like we're talking about. I was talking about that haven't been bought out by the private equity companies yet. You still got that mom and pop feeling. They're very much like personable.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, they, my company cuts me a lot of slack. Like it's just like normal people. They understand like no one's perfect. We're all learning.
Right.
You know, some days are bad. Some days are good. It's really a good fit for, you know, I think.
Absolutely.
So what was the process of getting in your foot in the door? So you're like, hey, I'm 25. I want to do plumbing. You just start applying to different companies as an apprentice, or how did that go?
Yeah. So at that time, I didn't really know. I was like, I want to do something with my hands. And so I had felt out a couple different opportunities for plumbing. And they had, I'm not going to mention their name, but one the company that ended up hiring me, they took me on as pretty much like a laborer, more so than an apprentice. I was the guy that was in the ditch on the excavation crew. And man, it's a tough upbringing and kind of a rude awakening. Cause you know, you come to work and you're working with a guy that's been on an excavator for, you know, 30 or 40 years, every single day of his life, you know, smoking cigarettes, you know, cussing, hey, go get that, go get this. And it, you know, it's a lot whenever you're not used to something like that. And it definitely took me quite some time. I would say at least 4 to 6 months until I really was like, all right, I think I know what I'm doing here. And I understand like, when I get out of the truck, you know, this is what we got to do. Got to get the tools out. Got to get the batteries charged. Got to get the ladder out. Got to get, you know, stuff like that. But it was a good entryway into plumbing because once I had my feet wet in there, literally, I understood everything that was underneath the ground before I even started working with customers inside the house. So it gave me kind of a leg up on some of the other technicians that hadn't seen that excavation side yet. Cause you know, we were replacing water lines, sewer lines, we were replacing septic systems, sewage pumps, stuff like that, that unless you kind of really focus in on that, you don't get that from a day-to-day experience just cause it's, you're not going to see them every day unless you're really focused in on those. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So it's there was no formal education. It was just like sink or swim.
Correct.
There's a shovel, figure it out.
Pretty much. I mean, my excavator was a very good teacher, but he had no licensing, no nothing like that. So whenever I first started off learning, it was just like, hey, this is how we do it here. And kind of looking back on that, he's pretty good. I don't know if I'd call it, you know, up to code on every single perfect thing, but he, I mean, honestly, here in Missouri, there's a lot of small towns, you know, code is not hardly, you know, enforced here. Cause I know, you know, places, East Coast, West Coast, the code is like, that's all you can do. Mm. You can't do anything but that. Here in Missouri, you can kind of get away with stuff, which is unfortunate. But he was a pretty good teacher for what it was.
Now you said you're a master plumber, so you have to be licensed in Missouri to like be in your own band? Did you go through like a state licensing procedure? How does that work?
So technically you don't have to have licensing here in Missouri to, you know, plumb technically. As long as you are employed or working under a working master plumber, you can go out in your own van, you can go out and do your own work. But ultimately everything would come back on that, you know, manager or master plumber or whoever's, you know, supervising you on from that company standpoint. But mainly I just got the master's license so that if I ever do want to leave and do my own thing, there's no problems. I can pull permits. I can, you know, do everything that I need to do, and get it all taken care of underneath my own name. I won't have to work for anybody else, but I really do enjoy the place that I work at. And I don't plan on going anywhere at all. It's just one of those things that I would rather have as a personal achievement, because I never did finish college. To me, that's like finishing college for plumbing pretty much. And then just having that in the back pocket if anything were to go wrong.
Yeah, that's very smart. I'm actually looking at taking the journeyman's exam this summer, just to better myself, just to get a better grip on the code. I mean, I know what Absolutely. I have to know, but especially since I'm like a service manager, I should know the codes more than anyone. So,
Absolutely.
So you got your master's, so you have your journeyman's, and then you got your master's, or you just went straight to your master's?
Correct. So when I was at my first company, I was there for almost 6 years. And so I had built up enough time that I had definitely got my journeyman's. And then when I left to work for the company that I currently work for, I was like 350 hours shy of qualifying for my master's test. So once I got that, I was like, yeah, I want to get my master's. And they're like, that's cool. We don't really care that you get your master's. You know, if you want to, that's perfectly fine. And I said, you know, this is more of a personal achievement thing for me. And so that's, I wanted to stand my ground on that and get that done. And I'm very happy that I did. Even though I don't use it right now, it's good to have.
Yeah. So you could go start your own business legit if you wanted to. You got everything in place. Yep. That's nice. That's the way it's at. I mean, that's where the real money's at, the big stuff.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Is that part of your long-term goal, or you're just kind of, what are you thinking?
I think really, so my long-term goal is more so, I know you'd said you watched some of the plumbing content stuff that I had put up, but it's, I really want to like help get people into the trades, help teach them what I know. I know I don't know everything, but there are some things that I've learned over the years, you know, tricks of the trade, honestly, that if I can pass those on and maybe help some person from making a bad mistake that I did before they do, man, that's like gold to me. I would love to open some sort of company that encompasses just teaching the trades, whether that's some sort of trade school or informal trade school, possibly. But I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm in the same boat. The education, I mean, the opportunity is perfect for people that are, if they can get through the apprenticeship phase, which I think a big problem, I'm not sure about your pay out there, but a big problem I'm noticing is that they're not, the apprentice pay is not attractive enough to get people, you know, 15, 18, 20 bucks an hour. I mean, that's not enough. You're going to be on a shovel all day digging, and you want to, you know, you need to get like a good livable wage just to be here and then get them to stay. Are you guys like commission out there, or is it because like smaller towns, sometimes they're hourly, or are you guys big enough to do commission?
So funny you should ask that. The first company I worked for was primarily commission. And I played that game, like I said, for almost 6 years. I was a technician on commission for probably five of that. Six-ish years, and it was kind of challenging. I really liked it at first, and then I figured out how, I don't want to say bad, but like it was like really bad for me. I really wasn't making as much as I thought I should be, and I was working way harder than necessary to really make the money that I was making. It was good money, but it comes down to like, man, some weeks you'd come home with $4,000, and then the next week you'd come home with like $600, and you're like, that's just impossible to budget. And it was a huge stressor on me and my family at the time. So whenever I moved over to the company I work for now, I have like my base hourly rate, and then on like water heaters, water softeners, water treatment stuff like that, toilets, faucets, you get a percentage of commission on the ticket sale, basically. So it's kind of a win-win because you get a little bit of both. Not everything has a commission attached to it, but it does give you that incentive to help, you know, offer those options and get those products sold.
Yeah, I like that. I like that's a good idea if you could find like a median, because you're right, the commissions can just be wild, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, I made a bunch and now it's pretty much canceled out.
Right.
You know, the following 2 weeks. Do you get slower during the summer? Or you guys stay pretty busy full year?
So ever since I started plumbing, we get slow between February and April, and that's it. It's like, I don't know if it has something to do with tax season or the changing of winter to spring, but it's like, we're running like crazy all year long. Christmas hits, everything's, you know, still running pretty hard. Middle of January might slow down a little bit, but yeah, February is like almost always dead for us, and then March is pretty dead, and then it starts to pick up in April, and it's been starting to get a little bit quicker. In the past, I'd say past 2 or 3 weeks, I think I've sold 4 tanklesses, 3 softeners, a couple garbage disposals. It's like it really started rolling in again, which is great. And it kind of, I mean, as you know, it comes in waves as well. You know, whenever you get, oh, hey, I got 4 estimates for a water heater this week, that really helps out and gets the schedule booked up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of tankless, huh? I saw you doing, y'all do the Navians?
We do the Navians, yeah. We stick with the 240 A2s. We've had pretty good luck with those, honestly. Other than a couple key components that we know that have had issues in the past. It seems to have passed at this point, and we're not really having any other issues, but we really like them. We really like those units.
Yeah, yeah, they're good. Have y'all went out to California to do the training, or is there one closer to where you're at?
So we haven't been out to California or New Jersey, either one of those offices, but we did have, I can't remember who it was. It was like the local reps or whatever that do the training for Navien in our area. I think they're out of like Kansas City. They came into our old shop before we moved, and we did levels 1, 2, and 3, I believe. So we got all those, which is great. And I think on the third one, I think it's only 3 tiers, you know? Is it 3 tiers?
I think, but I'm not up.
I think it was on the second or third one. We ended up taking out the heat exchanger, and that was really cool. That's something that, you know, you don't really get to do very often. And thankfully, knock on wood, I haven't had to do in the field yet. But I'm sure there will come a day when I'll need to take that out. And man, that is like the meat and potatoes of that unit, because that thing is so heavy. Everything else inside there is like lightweight. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That heat exchanger, that what, a 15-year warranty on it.
Yes.
We talk a lot about giving options and educating the customer, educational persuasion, not sales, service. I mean, for you, are you into the giving options, or did it take a while to get into that mindset, or how did it start off?
Whenever I first started, you know, they threw me in the truck, and I was kind of more so in that broke fix mentality at first, because I was like, hey, you know, let's get in. You know, they said I got, you know, 5 calls today. And whenever you're an apprentice, it's like, man, 5 calls, that's pretty daunting to get through. You don't know really what you're going to get into until you get there and start looking at stuff. And, you know, back then I wasn't very quick at diagnostics. And honestly, diagnostics can take the longest part of some of the calls, you know, figuring out what's going on, why it's failing, and like what the solution is to fix it. But back then it was like, oh, your toilet's running. Okay, well, you just need a new, you know, you need a new fill valve. They're like, okay, yeah, cool. You know, whatever, $200, and they'll, you know, out the door. It didn't really click until maybe a year in the truck. When, you know, a lot of the other guys were making a lot more money than me. And I was like, man, what is Seth doing? Or like, what's Chad doing? What are they doing? How are they making so much more money than me? Like, well, yeah, we're given options. You know, when we go in and we talk about, you know, water heaters, we're giving them a 50 gallon, you know, power vent and a tankless option. And I was like, it's a good idea. And so they started bringing that up a little bit more in our like weekly meetings and talking about how you can offer options, how you can talk to your customers about bringing those options up. And for a while it sounded pretty salesy to me. And so I didn't really like it until I kind of like shifted my mindset into like, you're not really selling people. You're just educating them on what's out there and what's available. Because just like you and I, I'm not an expert on tires. When I go to buy tires, I want the guy to say, hey, here's this basic tire. Here's a, you know, pretty good tire. And here's the Ferrari tire. Which one would you like? And that's kind of how I see it in plumbing as well. It's like, to anybody other than us, plumbing is boring. But because we're plumbers, we should know as much as we possibly can about it so that we can help educate our customers. So I think the options mentality is very, very important. Because if you're not giving all of the options to your customers, or they're not aware of them, then how are they going to know that they can choose something else?
Well, I mean, so it sounds like you didn't get training. Like your journeyman didn't give options because he was the excavator mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, in some of those situations, okay, it may be hard to give options, and that's okay. Not every call is perfect, and not every call may have 3 options. You might have 2 options. You might have, unfortunately, 1 option, but most of the time you can come up with, you know, multiple options that will, you know, be enough for any of your customers' needs, basically.
Are you naturally like a people person, or did you really have to kind of push yourself out your comfort zone to start doing it?
Yeah, when I first started, I personally think I'm an introvert at heart, but because I talk to people every day now, that's kind of changed a little bit. I was always the quiet kid in school. I was, you know, a band nerd. I didn't really talk to people. I wasn't very popular or anything like that. But once I started getting into plumbing, I realized, well, I have to talk to strangers every single day, and I need to make sure that they understand that I'm confident about what I'm talking about. Otherwise, they're not going to be comfortable with me, you know, doing work in their home. So it definitely was a learning curve. That I think part of that was that first year of just figuring out how to talk to people how to have, you know, normal conversations about plumbing. Even though I didn't know what I know now about plumbing, I feel much more comfortable about, you know, talking to anybody about anything on the plumbing. And I usually can work my way through it. But back then it's like, well, I don't know what that is. And I don't know what this is, but we're talking about this thing today. And I know a little bit about it. So it, you know, over time, I feel like once you start getting more comfortable with that stuff, it just comes off easier. And so talking was very challenging whenever I first started.
Yeah. When you don't know what you're talking about, it's hard to sound like you know what you're talking about. But once you get it down,
fake it till you make it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Or go out and call your service manager in the car and figure out what to do. So you were a laborer, and then one day they were like, okay, well, I guess you can start running calls now. And then you like started to shadow someone actually running calls. And then how long did that last? Like, how long were you riding before you got your own van?
I don't know. I was like off and on riding with people for probably like 6 months. Yeah. And kind of sometime in that period, they sent me to a 1 week course in Arkansas. I don't know if you guys know what it's called or if you've ever heard of it. It's called Ultimate Tech Academy. Mm-hmm. They have incredible courses. I went there a few years back for an electrical course, actually, when I joined my new company, and they're like, yeah, we want to send you out for electrical. And I was like, I'm a plumber. Why do you want to send me there? And like, we want you to know about electrical. I was like, okay, sweet. That's awesome. So I've taken a couple courses of theirs, and they're all incredible. Everybody there is super helpful. Everybody that's there is willing to learn, willing to listen. And I got a lot of information out of that kind of helped me get into my own van. I think even though it was only a 1 week course, you know, you learned a lot in that 1 week.
It was in like service based, basically like customer service, communication, sales, stuff like that.
It was more on the technical side, mostly. Just of like, here's how you should properly solder. Here's how you make PEX connections. Here's what most of the toilets look like. Here's some of the basic repairs. Here's what a water heater looks like on the inside. Like, just kind of more of the back knowledge that you should know of all of the components inside your home, but mostly residential. There was a little bit of commercial stuff, but honestly, it's more focused towards residential.
And so your main like mentors were the guys that you worked with, or have you listened to other podcasts, other books or anything, or how did you develop that skill of?
So at the time I wasn't reading any books, wasn't listening to any podcasts at all. I just kind of watched and listened, to, you know, some of the more experienced plumbers in the field. We had one guy that would, I don't know, he's probably been plumbing for 20, 25 years now. And I really liked riding with him. It was great, you know, just watching and learning and seeing some of the small things that he did and picking up on those. And I use some of those still nowadays. You know, whenever you're speaking with the customer, just thinking out loud to the customer helps them understand where your mind's at and what you're going towards or what you're looking at. So that's something that I've picked up from him. But the problem riding with him was he would never give up the tools. And so, I mean, he's an incredible plumber, but honestly, if you're going to become a good plumber yourself, you have to get your hands on the tools and start doing it yourself. And so it was only, you know, so good to a point where I was like, well, I'm getting all this great information, but I'm not using it yet. So getting passed around to a couple different guys really helped. And one of the other guys that I worked with is now my service manager at my new company. We both worked at our old company. And he really helped guide me and you know, build me up over the years as well, which really helped me.
Service versus sales. What does service mean to you? Not from a salesy perspective, but what makes a great service that's worth what, you know, what we're trying to get these days, hundreds of dollars per hour?
First thing that comes to mind, great service is going to be something that's memorable and consistent. Memorable in a sense that, not that it was, you know, so overwhelmingly incredible or whatever, but like memorable in the sense that like the customers pay attention to like little things. Like when you walk in, if you put booties on, even if they say, don't worry about it. No, it's fine. I'm going to put these on, you know, because we're going to take care of your house. We're going to make sure that we're, you know, we don't want to mess up your carpets. We don't want to drag in any rain. Like it was raining here today. And the guy that was working with me wasn't putting them on. I was like, hey man, just put them on. He's like, all right, cool. I mean, it's just like it's a level of respect. I mean, if somebody was going to come into my home, I would hope that they would do the same. Now, I know that's not the world that we live in, and some people will and some people won't. But yeah, it's like attention to detail is huge. And it'll really go a long way with a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's spot on. The little things like booties, even unless they tell you specifically, don't worry about it. And then even so, I mean, you just right. do it anyway, but booties, gum, parking on right side, the road, the little things that really matter, because they might not say anything if you don't put booties on, but in the mind, they see that footprint when the light hits it just right. And that just kind of, it stacks it. And then next thing you know, they don't like you because you don't respect their house.
Right.
You know? But you're right. Also, one of my other bosses, when I first moved to Phoenix, I worked for them for like 3 years. He kind of taught me, that company taught me ethics when it comes to like taking care of the customer. They were really about taking care of the customer. We were hourly with spiffs, so kind of like what you got. So it was like there was no rush. You didn't have to sell anything. You were going to get paid no matter what. But he always said it's the customer is going to forget the repair long after you left, but they're always going to remember how you made them feel.
Absolutely.
So, or it's you're there to fix the customer more than the part as well. So I think that's spot on.
I know one thing that our service manager currently says a lot is, you know, when a customer calls us, they're in their mind, they're having the worst day of their life. Their toilet's, you know, overflowing, or their bathtub won't shut off. Oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, they're right now their life is ruined to them. And we show up and our job is to basically make that better for them. We want to go ahead and just like take care of that. And we want to put their mind at ease that, hey, here's, you know, option A, B, or C. We can get it all taken care of for you today. It's no big deal. What would you like to do? And then once we get started, everything's cool. We get done and they're like, oh my gosh, this is just so much better. I can get back to my life. I can get back to, you know, my kids' baseball games or whatever it might be. And you know, their life is back on track.
Yeah. It's all stop for them. And not to mention, they probably are afraid. They're probably afraid. How much is this going to cost? Who's going to do it? Am I going to have to take off work to get this fixed? Is it, you know, I'm going to have to take out a second mortgage to repair it, you know? So putting them at ease, letting them know somehow, even if you say, oh yeah, I've done this before, like make them feel that they're with someone who has experience and is competent and is going to take care of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Tell me about the content, the online content, because I went and look at your stuff and like you said, you've got pretty much stuff everywhere. How long have you been doing the online content and what inspired you to get into it?
So I think I've been doing it since like September of 2022. I think is when I like posted my first video. And I mean, if you go all the way back to the beginning, like on, I think it's probably TikTok and Instagram where I started both of them from the beginning. I mean, the content is completely different. You know, it's I like to think that it's gotten better over the years now. But it's, you know, every video I try and pick off something that, you know, somebody else might be using or something that's working, and try and incorporate it with my own little spin on it to kind of help push my content out and let people see it. I don't really know. I wanted to make a personal brand, and I think this is a good way to start it. At least, A, you're putting yourself out there. You're being vulnerable. You know, you're getting nasty feedback sometimes. You're getting good feedback sometimes. You never know what you're really going to get. With the internet, it's just kind of hit or miss. But it's a lot of fun in a sense that I don't really care like how many people watch it. Cool, if I get a video that goes viral, great. That sounds awesome. But like most of my videos have like 200, 300. Maybe 1,000 views, like not that many views, but I know that I'm making a difference by getting that information out to somebody. And hopefully at least one of those people, you know, learn something from those videos. And if they did, that's the goal. So I think it's more so of a kind of like you said, like a movement of trying to like make this trade better from a standpoint of we're only losing good plumbers every day. And we need to start bringing more of them in because there's too few of us currently. And there's only going to be even worse of a gap as we go if we don't do something about it. And so that's why I think I started doing that, is starting the content that hopefully will help people learn, maybe get them interested in doing it more. But I don't know anybody personally that I've changed their life yet, but hopefully that happens someday. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure will, especially as people start realizing that earning potential is there.
Yeah,
for sure. And it's only going to get better, worse, but better as time goes on. Did you, when you decided to do it, was it just a, okay, I'm going to do it? Or did you fight with it for a while? Was content always something you wanted to do in one form or the other? Or you just kind of just did it, kicking and screaming?
So I remember this was back when I worked at the newspaper printing press. And I had made a time-lapse video of like all the different tasks that I did like in a week or two's time. And then I eventually sat down on my computer and I merged all those clips together, put some music behind it, and I threw it up on my Facebook. And a lot of my relatives, a lot of my friends were like, oh man, that's super cool. Like I never knew like what the printing press was like and, you know, all that cool stuff. And so that was kind of like a one-off video. And this was probably probably like 2000 when I made that video. And so I was like, yeah, that was a lot of fun, you know, cool. I didn't really think anything of it. Fast forward to right before I started doing content, I've been listening a lot to, I don't know if you've heard a podcast called Real AF with Andy Frisella. But he has a lot of guests on that are just like successful business people, entrepreneurs, stuff like that. I was listening to one that I can't remember his name, but he was specifically talking about like just putting content out on the internet and then people started, you know, receiving it well and they started following him and he started going bigger and bigger. That wasn't really ever my goal, was to, you know, hey, I'm going to put this stuff out and I hope you like it. But it was more so of him just like taking the leap and being like, I'm just going to do this and see what happens. And so that was kind of the mindset that I went into it with, was what's the worst that's going to happen? If you put some videos up and maybe you get 100 views, maybe you get 5 views, maybe you get 1 million views. I mean, I think it was like that winter, like that December, I had one video that had like 4 million views or something crazy. Little did I know, it had copyright issues with the music. So I had to take it down, but I still have the video, so I could go back and remake it and resend it. But why did that video all of a sudden go crazy viral? I don't know. So I don't know if it had anything to do with algorithm stuff. I'm sure it does, but it was kind of weird because, you know, all my friends were like, oh man, your video went crazy. Your video went crazy. I was like, well, that's not what I'm doing this for though. You know, I'm doing this so that I can help people.
Plumbers in the internet can be particularly bad. Was it hard getting the criticism? Did it take you a while to get past it, or does it still mess with you?
Yeah, so like when I first started, it was kind of rough. Like, I mean, you know how the guys are. It's, you know, on, you know, plumbing fail pages or whatever, they're just like digging into these guys. And I mean, that's kind of how our industry always has been. Like it was, you know, in person at my past job, you know, it was like we would sit at the round table is what we called it. And it's just a big octagon in the center. And it's like, you just try to cut the other guy down in the morning and, you know, it's all in fun, but it's like, man, some of those will cut deep on you. And that's kind of how some of those comments will go. But you got to understand that like this person is it's a subjective comment that doesn't really mean that it's fact. Two, like you're going to do it your way and you know that it works. If you're posting something, most likely you're not going to post it and be like, well, I know this doesn't work. And it's like, the things that I do, I know work and I know what's okay to do in my area. And so that's what I'm going to post. And if you guys don't like it, you know, you don't have to watch it. But there's definitely been a couple comments where, you know, you go down a rabbit hole and you get to the point where it's like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. And you just kind of leave it at that and then they go away. So typically, you know, I try and have, you know, constructive criticism conversations with people now if they, you know, have issues with any of the videos. But most of the time, you know, it's pretty positive stuff for people asking questions. And that's really what I enjoy, is if I can answer somebody's question, make their diagnostics easier. That's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it seems like me, my target audience is not the boomer who's been in it for 20 years. It's the guys who are just in or thinking about getting in. And so that we have a lot of value to offer those guys. And, you know, like I talked about before, it's when it comes to service plumbing, customer is not going to care if your solder joints are a little bit drippy or, you know, that's about the service. Like you said, how you made them feel when you left, and did you educate them? Not perfect solder joints or whatever crap. I mean, there's always something. And then there's so many different ways to do one thing. It doesn't mean just because you don't do it the way that someone else did, it means that it's wrong.
I mean, my big thing is on a, even if I don't use the footage on a lot of the water heaters, it's like, I know I'm going to be in this area for a couple hours, probably, you know, making everything look right. So I'm just going to set my phone up somewhere and just put it on time lapse. And then if I end up not liking it, I never post it. I delete it.
So if you, I end up, do you plan your videos out, or you do record everything and see?
Sometimes it kind of just depends. Like once you go through the diagnostics of, you know, whatever call you're at, and then you kind of see what you're going to do. Once you get approval to do the work, depending on what it is, you know, is it, I don't know. If the customer is going to linger a bunch, probably not going to do it. You know, if the customer is just going to be like, yeah, go ahead, it's in the kitchen, whatever, I might film something. But yeah, usually if it's like a longer job, I can usually just post it up somewhere and just let it kind of just run and its course. And then I can kind of, you know, edit it later and figure out what I like and what I don't.
Do you have like a goal, like so many per week, one a day, or just whatever? No.
At first I had a goal, was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do like, you know, 4 or 5 a week. And then I was like, man, that's a lot of content a week, especially if you're trying to like edit it all. I mean, making the video itself does not take that long typically, because, you know, I'm trying to make shorts, which are a minute roughly. But editing, oh man, that'll take an hour on a minute video. Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't know. I send them out whenever now. I don't know. I probably have like 8 or 9 on my phone right now that are like ready to go, but I don't want to blow all those all at once, so that if I do get into like a lull spot where I'm not getting any footage, it's like, well, I can still release a couple videos every once in a while. So I'd probably say like 2 or 3 a week maximum.
Yeah, that's the key, I find, is have one in the bank, so you're not like rambling.
So far, that's mostly what I've focused on, is like some of the shorter videos. I know people's attention span is pretty quick nowadays, and they're looking for, you know, short content, you know, quick reels, stuff like that. They can swipe through and see what they like. I don't know. It's kind of hard because you can only teach so much within a minute. So I've started to try and delve into some of the longer formats. I know you had commented on that longer electric water heater one. That was really the first one that was like a long, like 9 to 10 minute video. I mean, that was probably like, an hour of me just like talking in front of the camera. And I just had to chop that up in 2 different cameras, yeah. Which that took a long time to do, but I think it turned out really good. And for somebody that is wanting that information, that's a great video to go to.
Yeah.
So I think I might continue down that path and see, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's going to get much views, but the people that want it, it's going to be helpful for them. I know that. Another thing to touch back on service real quick, something that I learned kind of going back to that Real AF Andy Frisella podcast, he talks about an acronym that's ETL, I believe it is. Yes, ETL. Education, Trust, Loyalty. And I like to just kind of think of that as, you know, every customer, you want to get that ETL from them. You're going to go into their house, you're going to educate them about what's going on, you know, talk about water quality, water pressure, all that stuff, and educate them on why the problem's happening so that you can fix the overarching problem rather than just the symptom. Once they go out and find that information that you provided them was true, and they figure that out on their own, they're going to trust you, which gets to the T. And once they trust you, they're going to keep calling you back, which gets you to loyalty. And, you know, you can have 100% customer satisfaction, sure, but can you have like customer retention? Because that's really a big thing in our industry. Is, I mean, it's even hard for our company, but a lot of customers will call, you know, for a plumber and they just want it as fast as possible. So they'll call around to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 different companies, and whoever can come quickest is who gets the job. But we've noticed, you know, I don't know, we have maybe 5,000 service customers on our service plan. And it's like, those customers are never going to call anybody other than our company. It's because of the service that they're going to get from us. So I think that's really important, is, you know, that customer retention rather than just customer satisfaction.
ETL. I wrote that down. Educate, trust, loyalty. Yeah. Cause I was like, I'd said before, the ideal customer is not the one that's calling you because there's an emergency and you have to get out there and they're just going to pay whatever just to get it fixed. The best customer is the one that you've done some work before. They trust you enough to where when you give them options, they're going to go with a premium because they trust
absolutely.
You. Absolutely. And they're only calling you. The maintenance plans, that's big. We're thinking of, we are going to start rolling those out probably within the next few months for my company. How long have your company been doing?
I don't know exactly how long they've been doing it for, but, The company I work for, our plumbing department's only actually been full plumbing service for about 5 years. Primarily, they are known as a heating and cooling company in my area. They opened in 1958. And so they've been around and they know the people of Columbia for sure. And the people in Columbia know who we are in the heating and cooling department. But a lot of people are still learning that we do plumbing. So it's kind of been an uphill battle against that for a while. But we've had those service plans ever since I started. And I mean, building that customer base is huge. We don't currently have any like added benefits for using the plumbing side. Like we don't have any like plumbing, like annual checks or anything, inspections like that. But we do have like the heating and cooling side. They have, you know, AC tune-up, furnace tune-up, and everything like that.
What's some advice or some tips or techniques, or what do you do to kind of maximize those calls that are just like maintenance?
So the big thing, we'll have heating and cooling technicians go out and get us on what they call a free plumbing inspection. That literally gets us in the door to talk to the customer about anything that they want in their home for free. And sometimes they say, hey, you know, I was down here doing maintenance on the furnace and I noticed that the floor drain's backing up. It's like, perfect. That's a great way to get my foot in the door. Talk to them about what we could do, you know, drain clearings. Have you ever had a camera done? You know, do you use any drain maintenance products right now? Anything like that? Has this ever happened before? You know, ask a lot of questions with your customer to try and get some more information about what's going on. Anytime we go out and do those as well, we're going to check water pressure and water quality, which are kind of like the two biggest things other than age for all of your plumbing fixtures in your house. And so that's something that's super important to bring up with your customer. A question that I like to ask them is, has anyone ever talked to you about water quality? And usually that opens the door of it's a yes or no. And then if it's a yes, you know, ask them, what do you know about water quality? Or, you know, when was the last time you talked about it? Because most of the time, I would say in my area, a lot of people don't have water softeners or carbon filters or RO systems or anything like that. But it's definitely something that I think is necessary if you're trying to make things in your home last a long time.
Is their water quality pretty bad where you're at?
I would say on average, probably like 12 grains per gallon of hardness.
Okay. So because there's mountains great. Around you?
No, we just, no, it's a big old piece of limestone. We're right near a river. And so we get all of our water from the river.
Gotcha.
And it's just, yeah, it's pretty rough.
Do most people have a filtration? Like it's caught on or not so much?
I would say like 75% of people don't.
Don't, unfortunately. Wow, okay.
Yeah. Including myself right now, unfortunately, but that'll change once our water heater goes out.
There you go. Get you a Navian, right?
Yeah, we'll get a Navian, we'll get a little cabinet softener and we'll squeeze it into that spot. Yeah.
What's some advice you would give to apprentices or people thinking to get into the trade? What's something you wish you knew before you got in?
That's a good question. Do you want a job that you'll never, I should say it that way. Let's see here. Yeah. Do you want a job that'll never have a lack of jobs? Does that make sense? Like even during a slow time, there's things that can be done, you know, during the slow time, that's a great time to call customers and say, hey, have you had your water heater flushed this year? Have you ever had a plumbing inspection done? You've had us come out and just take a look, just take a once over of everything, make sure it's working good. I mean, I get people all the time texting me on my personal number and like, yeah, can you come out and do this? I'm like, no, just call my company, take care of it during the day. I mean, if I wanted to, I could work every single hour of my life, but I don't, I choose not to, but, the opportunity is out there. You could literally run from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep as long as you want.
Yeah, the job security, it's definitely, and plumbing, I think more so than like HVAC. I mean, HVAC, it's an air condition. It's hidden somewhere. It blows cold. Is it blowing cold? Okay, it's working. You know,
right.
You can get filtrations and all that stuff. But electrical is kind of the same thing. It's in the walls. It's working. When I flip the switch, does the light come on? Yes, it's working.
Right.
Plumbing, there's every fixture. There's different faucets for each fixture. There's water filtration. There's different styles for everything. There's so much more opportunity for plumbing, it seems, versus any other of the service trades as well.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, not to say that we're essential, but it's the most essential thing to human life is water, literally. You know, getting water into your body and then getting the waste from your body away from your body, literally. Those are like the two biggest things that keep humans alive. It's clean water and sewage systems. I know people don't think of it like that, but it's like, if we didn't have that, no other job would really be able to happen safely.
They say that plumbers protect, you know, save more people than doctors because of the sewage and all that, getting all that nasty stuff away. So yeah, it's essential. Absolutely. Is it the most glamorous? No, but, it's definitely essential, and you're doing something that does matter. It's not just like designing some button for Facebook, you know?
I mean, to me, it's also very like, I take a lot of pride in my work. So if you're very prideful and you like to see, you know, the finishing outcome, that's something that really drew me to plumbing or any industry for that matter. You know, if you're an electrician and you're wiring a new breaker panel, like make it look all nice, make it look really good. Cause whenever you're done, you want to be able to like, yeah, I did that, you know? And that's how I feel with like installing a water heater, installing a you know, faucet, installing a toilet. I want the customer to come in and say, hey, you know, here we are, we're all finished with this. How does this look? And if they're like, yeah, that looks great, you know, that gives me a sense of pride that I'm doing something good with my life and I'm helping somebody else out. I know you've had Mac on a couple times. I've watched a lot of his videos, and man, it's crazy to me that you guys have like your main shut off and your PRVs are outside. That blows my mind. Cause like here in Missouri in the winter, man, it's like, it could get down to like negative 15, like sometimes. I mean, most of the time it's not that cold, but it can and has. And so like seeing anything like that outside, like I'm just like, it's going to freeze. But I got to remember that, he's in Phoenix. Okay. It's probably like what the coldest it ever gets is like 50, 40, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it, you get a snap, but nothing serious.
That's crazy.
Nothing serious. And then, so in Louisiana, all of our water heaters are in the attic as well.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I just That's thought that crazy. Was normal. So, you know, every job is a two-man job, every water heater.
Yeah.
And as the apprentice, I was always on the bottom of the ladders. Of course. Luckily, like all attics have built-in ladders there, but still like some of those are 50, 60 years old. And you got me, I'm 200 pounds. The water heater is 150 pounds. The guys, and it's like,
yeah,
many times I thought like, okay, I'm going to die for this water heater today as I'm crushed by him in the water. It didn't happen.
Man. Thankfully, so, that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess we're getting close to wrapping up. I did have just a couple more questions. I guess one is, what do you enjoy the most about?
I enjoy, you know, getting to talk with a lot of different people. I know that it can be different just because, you know, you get your crazy people. Sometimes you get angry customers, you get super happy people, you get drunk customers, you get everything. It's the general public and you never really know what you're going to get, but making connections with customers that are genuinely interested is super rewarding just from like a human to human contact standpoint. Taking it completely out of like plumbing itself is, you know, whenever I like today, you know, I got to talk to a customer, and I noticed, you know, he had a bunch of, you know, football stuff on his walls. And it's like, man, I like football. You like football? Like, you know, why, what does this mean to you? Or, you know, trying to connect with, you know, a lot of people, I have dogs, I love dogs. Anytime I see, you know, a customer with dogs, I ask them about their dog. I ask them, you know, how old is he? You know, when did you get him? Like, have you ever had other dogs? And, you know, you start bonding over conversations that are other than plumbing. And then you kind of build that rapport with your customer and that goes back to the education, trust, loyalty. They can trust you in your home if you feel like a friend to them. And so it's much easier to have an open conversation with them, especially if you can make them laugh. If you can make them laugh, their guard is dropped. Not saying that that's like the time to, oh yeah, get in there and sell them. No, that's a good time to like, hey, we can be cordial, we can be friends. Let's have an open conversation about the options that you could do. And, you know, we can give you the best possible option for you.
Yeah, laughing, man. That's probably that's the most important, I think. I mean, that's going to get you the most points or whatever you want to call it. If you can make them laugh, then you've broken like that barrier, that fourth wall of I'm the sales guy and you're the customer. Oh, yeah. And now we're just two people that think things are funny.
Right.
Yeah. And then I said, like, that's way more effective. Building a rapport and getting them to laugh is way more effective than memorizing objection handling responses.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, or memorizing a script or something like that. Like, be there in the moment, connect with them at a human level, and then give them their options.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
What is something you wish you had known before getting into plumbing, or what is something that you don't like about
plumbing? I can tell you one thing that I definitely don't like about plumbing.
What's that?
Short and sweet. You ready?
Yeah.
On call.
Appreciate it.
Man, on call is, I understand it's necessary. You know, it's a big deal. Definitely if you got water spraying everywhere. But when you get those calls at 2 a.m. because their toilet's been running for 6 months and they just happen to decide to call you then, man, that there's nothing more infuriating. And I had a handful of those at my past company. Thankfully, the one I work at now, we don't do it currently. We don't really have enough guys, you know, 5 guys, that's not really enough to do an on-call rotation successfully long-term. But man, it's like when you get those silly calls, it's really frustrating.
Well, would y'all do like a week on?
Yeah, like? we did Monday to Monday, 24/7. You went to work like normal, and then you did, you know, everything after work as well.
Yeah, that on call is crazy. This kind of like you, this company, we do have on call, but they do absolutely everything they can to only send us out if it's an absolute emergency. So that's no good. Flappers, no faucets. Even if a house is flooding, they'll try and talk them into shutting off the water and coming back good. In the morning.
Good.
So yeah, that on call can be brutal, especially when it's something that can obviously wait.
Oh yeah.
And you pulled away from your family for something that is completely just waste of time. Not even worth the money. I mean, I guess it's worth it when you finally get the check, but I mean, honestly, I think we make enough normally. We don't need to do the on call really.
I mean, there was one guy, and this was again, like 3 or 4 years into my plumbing apprenticeship, I guess. I was on call. It was middle of February, super cold. There was ice out. And, you know, it was real cold here. It's probably 15, 10 degrees, something like that. Get out to the customer's house. It's like 3 a.m. or something. I'm like, whatever. I'll get my lunch ready just in case this goes long and I'll just go to work or whatever. Get all my stuff out there. You know, he's like, man, water just keeps coming up. I'm not flushing toilets. I don't know what's going on. Couldn't really figure out why that was happening. I don't know if he had like a running toilet and he had a sewer clog at the same time. Something was weird. Found out it was the sewer clog. I was like, hey, here's what it's going to cost. And he was like, yeah, I don't really want to pay that right now. I was like, all right. So because you woke me up, I was like, we're going to do this right now. Or I'm like, you can call in the morning. You can just figure out the schedule. Like we're not going to save a spot if you're going to call us this early. And so he ended up doing it. And I mean, I know he was upset, but it's like, don't call us if you're not ready to spend the money at, you know, 3 a.m.
Yeah. Cause we even have like a minimum. So like, if you get there, you're giving us at least a couple $100, whether the other stuff do anything or not.
I got one other thing here.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay. All right.
What are the top 3 things that people should know about with the plumbing in their house? When you get to their house for a plumbing call,
the top 3 things someone should know. Well, they should know where their main shutoff is, because in an emergency, you need to know where that's at. You need to make sure it's not a gate valve, if possible, that's a ball valve, so that it works when you need it to work. Let's see the other thing. I mean, it's kind of getting back to the 3 vitals. I mean, the pressure at your house, anything over, I mean, it's 80 here. Is it 80 over there as well, the PSI?
That's like the maximum allowable.
Yeah. So something over that, anything over that, and you can cause problems. Oh, let's see. The third thing you should know. The third thing you should know is that it is a system. It is a system that is connected, kind of like circuits. And so if there is a problem somewhere, then that problem is likely being caused by a greater issue somewhere else. So a leaking angle stop might be high pressure, might be the age, might be water quality. You know, there's rarely an instance where it's an isolated incident that a problem starts to occur. And then you shouldn't garbage disposal. I'll do a bonus one. You should really not put stuff down garbage disposals except for scraps, unless you have like a freaking restaurant quality one or something. But
yeah.
You don't really want to use, especially if you have cast iron.
That was a great answer. I mean, you hit him smack dab. The only one that I had differently would be cleanouts. Mm. Know where cleanouts are. If you don't, try and get familiar with those, whether it's outside, inside, if you don't have one, or, you know, if it's a crawl space or whatnot. I mean, could be different stuff there. There's,
where is it that everyone can reach you at?
Everybody can find me at Sleepy Plumber. Sleepy Plumber is the plumber without the E. So P-L-U-M-B-R. And it's on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube.
What's the story with the Sleepy Plumber? Were you caught taking a nap as an apprentice?
No, I don't know. Like, I think it started off as like a gamer tag when I used to play a bunch of video games with my friends. And they're like, well, you're a plumber and like, you don't go to sleep until like super late. So just like sleepy and like plumber. Right. And I was like, Sleepy Plumber. I was like, that's kind of cool actually. Yeah. And so I kind of just stuck with it and ran with it. And it's kind of stuck.
Sleepy Plumber. And then it's, Josh Burleson.
Yep. Josh JB Burleson on Facebook. That's gotcha. Basically where all my stuff is. It's got a little bit more, you know, personal stuff about me and what I do in my free time as well. So
check it out. Everyone definitely check him out. He's got like a lot of good videos. You said like shorts, but educational shorts. I like the way you kind of just like you're having lunch and you're talking about stuff. It's very like personable. And it's easy to watch. So check him out. I am Brandon the Plumber on YouTube, which is where this will be, because since we're doing video now, if you YouTube That Plumbing Podcast, it should come up, but it'll be under Brandon the Plumber. Also, Brandon at thatplumbingpodcast.com. Send me an email if you want to be a guest, if you have questions, if you're looking for some coaching, if you're in the Phoenix area and you're looking to get into the trade, reach out to me. There's a couple companies that I might be able to point you in the direction of. Other than that, Josh, I hope to have you on again sometime.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. This is a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yep. Cool. So, all right then, that's it for today. And I guess we'll talk to you guys next week.